You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. All right, we are live. Minor Talk is here, presented by the Oscar Arieta Agency. Hey, if you're looking for home, auto, life insurance, trust the local experts at the Oscar Arieta Agency. They can help you out, and they've got a great customer service team. The thing I love about working with the Oscar Arieta Agency is there's no drama. There's no headaches. You call their phone line up, 915-400-6000, and a real person will be able to help you out. There's no 1-800 number. It's not like you're working with a huge company out there. It's a locally owned company, the Oscar Arieta Agency. They've got agents here to serve you with when it comes to your home, auto, life, or even your business commercial insurance needs. Trust the local experts at the Oscar Arieta Agency and learn more online at OscarArietaAgency.com. Well, I want to open up the phone lines right away. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. There's a lot to get into on this show today. UTEP defeating Florida International. The score was 83-76. I think the score is much closer than this game actually felt, although maybe some of the naysayers would argue that they didn't like the way that they closed, UTEP closed this game out. Joe Golding even said that. He thought the play was way too sloppy. But let's peel that back. I mean, forget all of that. This team went on a 16-0 run to start this game off. 16-0. The Stanford defense, fans were standing forever for almost 8 minutes. I didn't even think that Florida International could get to 10 points in the first half the way things were going. UTEP just had them on lockdown defensively, and I think UTEP forced something like 11 turnovers in less than 10 minutes to start things off in the first half, Sal. And you know, the interesting thing about this UTEP basketball team is their defense has always done this. They've always turned people over. And the way that they started off that 16-0 run, I mean, you never look back from that. That's, they had leads by as much as 26 points in this game, 63-37. It was an absolute killing at points in this game. And I'm not gonna really hold on to the end of this game and, you know, think about that too much. I'm gonna hold on to the part where UTEP would look dominant and they've won three straight going into Huntsville, Alabama, for the Conference USA tournament.
It's all a matter of perspective, right? Let's flip the roles and say, hey, how many times has UTEP gotten out to a big hole, you know, 16-0 or you know, they're scoreless for how many minutes? And then, you know, they start fighting and clawing their way back, but it's just too late, though. You don't get credit for that late attempt because of that poor performance in the very beginning. That's been UTEP before. Flip it around. Now you're on the other side of that. You force that drought, and the other team, you know, starts catching fire near the end, but you did majority of your work within the first 10, 15 minutes, dug them in a really, really tough place to climb themselves out of. They did that. So, in my opinion, they earned, you know, the right to get a pass, I should say, not play the way they did, but get a pass for the final couple of minutes, because they've been on the other side of that for a while.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, man. Hey, our telephone number, 915-505-6009. Alberto Retta is in the house, and he was also at the game. Alberto, you give me your first reactions to this one. Miners get a big victory tonight on senior night. And for this team, they get to honor Zid Powell, Tay Hardy, Calvin Solomon, Jonathan DeSanjos, and Tay Hardy. I mean, it was the Tay Hardy game. He just played out of his mind in this matchup.
Yeah, he played phenomenally well. A great way to close out your season at the Don Haskins, or your career at the Don Haskins, and there's no better person to have a game like that than Tay Hardy. You know, he played 62 games in a minor uniform, and he started all but one. He could have sat out several games this season as he was injured, and he decided to battle through it. So that was what I really liked, and I really liked the way the Miners finished their season. Obviously, so that gives people a little bit of hope, but to me, one of my bigger takeaways from that first half was, yeah, the Miners started 16-2, but they went into the half 40-26. So that means after starting 16-2, both teams score 24 points, and that's how we go into the half. So after starting extremely hot, things kind of level out for the Miners, and they rode that lead that they had built a significant amount of the rest of the way. But it started looking scary at the end. Glad they closed it out. And glad the seniors all got involved and had a game that they're like, that was us. And now we can move this to Huntsville.
Yeah, and so now the thought is, okay, so we've asked people on Twitter and X, 600 ESPN El Paso, you can vote on this poll right now. Simply put, where are you at with this UTEP basketball team right now? They've won three straight going into the conference tournament. Prior to this three-game win streak, they lost four straight. How are you feeling about this UTEP men's basketball team as they head to the Conference USA tournament? You heard from Voice of the Miners, John Teicher, and we talked about it. We speculated all week, and I think we got people confused. Maybe that's probably what we did. But the big games that I'm circling and that held so much stock in the end of the conference season, it included the Tuesday loss from Liberty against Middle Tennessee, the Blue Raiders defeating the Flames in that game. It does wonders for the Miners to try to lock in a four possibly seed, maybe a most likely a five seed when it's all said and done, although it depends on what happens because Middle Tennessee has La Tech on Saturday. I think Middle Tennessee is losing that one, no doubt about it in my mind, Sal. So the way it's looking like right now, if we had to play the guessing game and we had to just look at what's ahead for the Conference USA tournament out in Huntsville, Alabama, it's looking like UTEP versus Middle Tennessee first round. Isn't that interesting, Sal? Because 2 years ago, UTEP had Middle Tennessee, and they had them on the wire. They had this team beat, and that was the team with Sule Boom, Keontae Kennedy, Jamal Bienemy, you name it.
That was like the eight steal game or something for Sule, right?
He played out of out of his mind in that game. He played out of his mind, and they lost that game in a really hard-fought overtime loss. 66-59 was the final. They had an opportunity with the ball before end of regulation to try to win that game. They won the first one in that Conference USA tournament that year against Old Dominion. In fact, last year they were a one and done. They lost in the first round against Western Kentucky 73-67. This time around, it could be Middle Tennessee, the first matchup for them, the 4-5 matchup, and that could be Thursday, March 14th, if that ends up being the case. Now, Sal, I don't know. I mean, as far as matchup goes, and as far as matchups concerned, what do you think about this one? UTEP taking on Middle Tennessee, a team that we've talked a lot about this entire season. Middle Tennessee, they've had higher expectations this year, but I don't know if they lived up to those high expectations. They're 13-17 to close out right now. They have one more game Saturday. They could probably finish up 13-18 overall, 7-9 in conference play. It's a disappointing finish for the Blue Raiders, who had a lot of hope this season.
Yeah, definitely one of the if not the top pick for Conference USA from a lot of the basketball experts, so to speak, and hasn't panned out this way. Kind of reminiscent to Western Kentucky of last year. That's kind of what it reminds me of, just all the preseason hype, and the talent is definitely there, just hasn't gone in the favor that they would have hoped. But if we're being real too, Adrian, Miners could be 2-0 against them.
Yeah, they probably should be, right?
So they got to go into that game as if they're the better team. They got to think it, at least, especially coming off of a game where they kind of gave Middle Tennessee that game. They got to go into that game potentially, right, with that same mentality that they went into tonight with a game that they dropped to a team they shouldn't have dropped it to.
Yeah, have that kind of chip on your shoulder, something to prove kind of thing. And, this team right now, they're playing at their best. I mean, that first half was really solid. The whole game in that Liberty road game, that was really solid for this basketball team. So if you're a UTEP optimist, then you're thinking, man, this stretch is really positive right here. Maybe they could do something. So we've got the Miner Talk poll up right now, and here are the following options, okay? Are you cautiously optimistic? Are you still out on this team? Do you think UTEP will make a run in conference play, or are they a one and done in Alabama? You could vote at 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, or you could call in 915-505-6009 and give your reason below. Right now, cautiously optimistic is leading the way, 44% of the votes. Then 30% of the votes say UTEP will make a run. One and done in Alabama is 20%. 6% of the votes, and then 6% of the votes say that they are still out on this team. So I think listeners and fans of this basketball program are pretty optimistic, at least of what they've seen in the last three games. Let's go to what's going on Twitter, 600 ESPN El Paso. That's where we're going right now. But before we do that, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to the Minor Talk, brought to you by the Oscar Arrieta Agency. More in less than 10 seconds here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Hey, big news today out of Conference USA. Sam Houston State winning at La Tech, clinching a share of the conference title and a top seed in the conference tournament next week. Why does this matter right here? Well, if you're somebody who cares about Conference USA awards, Chris Mudge for Sam Houston State, he is a shoo-in. First-year head coach taking over from Jason Hooten. And he has this kind of success in Sam Houston State. Crown him already Coach of the Year at Sam Houston State. What an accomplishment for this team to do it in just year one of the conference. Now let's go over to what this means for UTEP. Sam Houston State's going to be the number one seed. They're going to play the winner of the 8-9 seed, which is probably going to be, I mean, barring any unforeseen craziness, it's probably going to be New Mexico State and FIU. If it's not them, then Jacksonville State could slide in that mix, and it could be Jacksonville State versus FIU. But what this also means is the fact that Sam Houston State has to take on one of those teams, and the winner of that game, they will actually play the winner if UTEP ends up getting that 4 or 5 seed. They'll have to play each other, and that would be a March 15th matchup, and it's actually an early matchup. Sal, how about this? It'll be a 12:30 local time, 11:30 wow. a.m. time over there. CBS Sports Network will have that one, so that will be nationally televised. Semifinals, potentially UTEP, Sam Houston State. I'm going to tell you something, Sal. I like the matchup. I know we've talked matchups a lot, and maybe we sound contradictory at times. If you run back some Minor Talk tape, you might not like what I'm saying here. But the reason I like this matchup is simply because, and I've heard this from a lot of people, so I'm actually stealing this. Thank you, Steve Kaplowitz. Thank you, Hunter Pennypacker, for this one as well. Hard to beat a team three times. And Sam Houston State swept UTEP this season, but in a nothing to lose, everything to gain situation, semifinal round, March 15th, could UTEP have a chance in the semifinal rounds against a Sam Houston State team?
Looking that far ahead, assuming it, you know, the stars align that way, they could have a chance. And I say this because they had a chance in Huntsville. When they were on the road over there, it was a close one that, at the under eight mark, Sam Houston was just able to put it away. They showed their experience. It was 60-58. That was the final score. And a lot of these scores in Conference USA that we've been seeing within the last week or so, these games look close, but when you watch the full game, it really isn't. Team just happened to get some garbage points, so to speak, but that wasn't the case over there in Huntsville. UTEP dropped that one. So going off of that, they do have a chance. However, they're 0-2 against Sam Houston this year for a reason. That's a team who, they're first place in this conference for a reason.
Manny David chimes in on Twitter and X. Great first half, especially the great game for Tay Hardy. FIU fought back and made it too close at the end. Still, the Miners came out with a win. Plenty of time to prep for the conference tournament. Hashtag go Miners. Hashtag defend the Don. Hashtag Minor Talk. Poncho, UTEP men's basketball got lucky with tonight's win. Joe Golding got outcoached in the second half. How do you lose such a huge lead? The old referee needs to retire. He made some terrible calls tonight. Hashtag Minor Talk. That crew who hangs around UTEP, I'm not discriminating by the old man or anything like that. No, that crew is awful. I mean, it's just awful. That's all I'm going to say. There was some. They just let it get out of hand in the end. I thought that game should have been over 10, man. 15 minutes. I mean, Sal, those last 2-3 minutes were ridiculous. And you know what? Jeremy Ballard, head coach over at Florida International, he called way too many late timeouts. This game was so out of reach, man.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why the score looks a lot closer than it was. I mean, FIU had a solid run, but they were just in too big of a deficit to get back. And another thing that attributes to UTEP, sarcastically, as I'm doing my air quotes here, only winning by the amount they did, they were poor from the free throw line too, only 14 of 25. So
yeah,
both teams combining for 52 free throws, that adds to the delay in action.
Yeah.
But you not being efficient from the free throw line is the difference between even though you win, you know, winning by 7 versus, you know, 13, 14, 15.
I'll tell you this, I didn't like the 23 turnovers that the Miners had, and you know, you can pretty much highlight most of those being in the second half, 14 of those turnovers being in the second half. So there you go, there's your stat right there as far as turnovers go for the Miners and kind of what hurt them there. But they forced 18, and I really like that. I mean, especially the first half where they forced 16. I don't like the second half where they only forced 2, but that first half performance defensively, that's one of the top ones you'll see. I think this is recency bias. That's why we're not flooded with calls right away, and people aren't necessarily glowing with excitement. But I still take more of the positives from this one than the negatives. I'm not on the side of like, hey, this is too sloppy for me to feel good about UTEP going into the conference tournament. Do I feel great about them going into Huntsville? No. But do I feel like they've got momentum like they haven't had in the last month? Of course. I mean, you want to be playing your best type of basketball right now. It sounds so cliche and so overstated, but it's just the reality. I mean, look at Tay Hardy in this performance tonight. Sal and I had to do some digging, and it was really just Sal. He had to do some digging based on what I was texting him. Tay Hardy goes off for 26 points. He explodes with 6 three-pointers. I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, are we getting into record territory? Sal, you uncovered some really cool numbers for UTEP all-time single-game three-point leaders in UTEP history. The really cool stat was that this is flooded with legends. It's also flooded with recent players who have starred for the Miners. Give us the rundown of this list right here. This is all-time three-point makes in a single game at UTEP.
All right, so just forewarning, one guy is listed 5 times when it comes to this list, but in first place, it's a tie between Randy Culpepper on January 23rd against Randy Culpepper of February 13th, because who are you going to choose with 9 threes? So he's first place, tied for first place, and who's right behind Randy Culpepper? Randy Culpepper with 8 three-pointers. You know, he's listed third. He is tied with Daryl Edwards, though. He had 8 three-pointers. That was on February 22nd. We talked about Daryl Edwards, you know, earlier today. Miguel Ayala with 7, and Randy Culpepper with 7 twice. Dominic Artis, Deion Barrett. That's another. That's
Deion
a name
Barrett.
For me. Yeah, Deion Barrett. And then JB, Jamal Bienemy, February of 2022. So Miguel Ayala, Culpepper, Artis, Barrett, and Bienemy with 7. Pretty cool list, man. It's fun because it takes you down memory lane a bit and remembering some of those highlights from those guys.
Yeah, the Deion Barrett mention is just the guy who doesn't fit in the mix, right? I mean, like everybody else is guys who've just really came onto the scene and were amazing for UTEP. I mean, let's just call it what it was. I mean, you talk about guys like Jamal Bienemy, such a difference maker for this basketball team. And I'm not saying any knock against Deion Barrett, but he came off the bench. I mean, he was this 5'10", you know, young player who played under head coach Tim Floyd. And he really reminded me of Evan Gilliard, minus the skill set that Gilliard had as far as like a on-ball guard. I mean, Deion Barrett was more of an off-ball guard, but that's a great name, Deion Barrett. I'm happy that we even mentioned somebody's name like that. Now, the interesting part about all of that list that you just mentioned was Randy Culpepper, man. He was so ahead of his time. And I think that record is going to eventually be broken. I see UTEP having a player who explodes for 10 three-pointers in a game and, you know, beats that record. But it really is an indication of how ahead of his time Randy Culpepper really was. I mean, if he was in 2024 college basketball, forget about it, man. A three-point specialist off-ball guard like Randy Culpepper, who could do everything, score at all three levels, and play top-notch defense, is just your all-around player. I mean, this guy's probably getting drafted in the NBA. And I think that at the time, I remember watching Randy Culpepper growing up, thinking to myself, if this guy doesn't get drafted, something's wrong. And you know what? To his credit, it's not like he's had any kind of a bad career. He's had a a 10-plus year career playing international basketball, making a lot of money and making a name for himself out there. He's actually, he retired recently playing out in Egypt, but then he unretired and he's now in Qatar, you know, signing another contract. So Randy Culpepper, man, RC3 Hooper, I just sent it to you. I was like, RC3,
yeah.
Thinking that he was, of course, the leader of this list. And not only is he the leader, but he holds multiple spots on this list right here.
He was such a highlight reel. I mean, there's so many of them that you can think of. My favorite, and I remember because this came out on SportsCenter, which one didn't, but it was the game against Richmond, and I think it was the CBI or something along the lines of that. They were on the road in Richmond, and the DMV, year in and year out, they have amazing teams. There's like four or five of them who you know, can make noise in a tournament just about every year, but that was a big highlight. That's when Richmond was one of the more, I don't want to say powerful, but notable and respectable mid-majors in that frame, and to do it on a big stage and get the, you know, the top 10 prowess, so to speak, that was awesome, man. So I think a lot about those things, but another thing that comes to mind, too, was not too long ago, you and I were on Twitter, when it was Twitter. I think we sent it to each other at the same time. Like, did you see Kevin Durant talk about Randy Culpepper when it comes to favorite dunkers or something like that? So, I mean, that just shows the legend of Randy Culpepper. So, yeah, if he was here, NIL's got to do something.
Oh, man.
Something, man.
He'd be breaking the bank. We talk a lot about the UTEP NIL collective. They would have had to start a Randy Culpepper NIL collective here at UTEP.
Culpepper coins.
Yes, yeah. To just fund him staying here at UTEP in order for them to keep him. I found the game, Sal. CBI tournament semifinals. Man, your memory is amazing. 81-69 was the victory for the Miners that year. 2009.
Yeah.
Here we go. Stephon Jackson led the way in scoring for the Miners. 34 points and a young Randy Culpepper off the bench. 33 minutes, 6 for 15. Couldn't take him out in this game. 19 points off the bench. Only 2 turnovers as a young buck, and also contributed with 3 steals. I mean, man, talk about production. One of the all-time greats. I mean, that's what I'll say right there from Randy Culpepper. And so to tie it all back to the 2024 season, as we're reminiscing about the great Randy Culpepper, to tie it all the way back, I mean, Tay Hardy at 6 three-pointers, I was thinking to myself, we could be seeing a career night. He was killing it tonight for the Miners, and it really was a career night for him. 5 assists, 3 rebounds. He was involved all over the place. Tay Hardy could have easily been selfish and tried to get to 30-plus, 40-plus, whatever it was, but he was getting his other players involved, and he was doing it while having fun. I mean, he had 32 minutes of action. He was throwing all sorts of crazy passes and stuff like that, and Tay Hardy, you know, he deserved a game like this. He was UTEP's best player all season long. I questioned that at times this year, but you know what? It's true. He is their best player. They run through Tay Hardy. It feels like he is just playing with a lot of weight on his shoulders, and that's okay. I think he's ready to take on this and shoulder the burden. I love the fact that his family came out tonight to watch him for senior night. And Sal, Tay Hardy definitely needs his own flowers. We gave all the flowers to Randy Culpepper.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Tay Hardy before on Sports Talk, before the broadcast. And again, I'll just say it, he was a very valuable piece to UTEP over the past 2 years and won't be forgotten.
Yeah, a guy who's always been in the mix when he's out there on the floor, and somebody who's not afraid to, you know, just get dirty out there and do the hard stuff. And if anything, since Golding's been here, no comparison in terms of skill set, obviously different players, but Sule Boom is one guy who I think was the most blue-collar player under Coach Golding, and right next to him would be Tay Hardy. So that's what I think of, a guy who is going to be in the mix for a game plan. And he plays these minutes for a reason. So, yeah, blue-collar guy all the way.
I like the description. Minor Talk poll is going on right now. How do you feel about the team going into the conference tournament? Reply with your reason below right now. Cautiously optimistic, taking the lead. 44% of the votes right there. Then UTEP will make a run. It has 29% of the votes. One and done in Alabama has almost 20% of the votes. Still out on this team. That's the worst one. Only 6% of the votes. So I would say, Alberto, most fans right now are cautiously optimistic. They don't want to tell anybody. They don't want to be on Minor Talk having somebody run back their phone call if they're wrong. But fans are cautiously optimistic as the Miners go to Huntsville.
Yeah, I think that that's the way to approach this conference tournament. And you kind of spoke on it a little bit when you were talking about this Miner team and how they played today. It's they're out there having fun and just playing the game. And it looks like they've forgotten about all the trials and tribulations kind of that they've gone through before this and all the mistakes that they've made. They're just kind of out there just having fun. I was about to say something that I can't say on radio. No, they're just out there having fun. And to me, the way I approach it and the way other people should approach it is just one game at a time. Don't focus on the number of games you have to win or how many you have to string together. Focus only on this one, on this game that you have coming up, and that'll help you. Or in my opinion, that'll help your hopes stay at a reasonable level. And the way I'm kind of gauging this conference tournament is by looking at the others, the ones that have already started. You know, I was watching some Sun Belt tournament earlier. Number 11 ranked Texas State, they defeated Southern Miss, who were ranked 6th. So things can happen, and I can go through these, and there'll be more where the lower-seeded team, they went out, and they put up a good performance, and they beat that higher-seeded team, and that's what it's about. Just take it at one game at a time. Go out there, have fun, play the ball you know how to play. Tune out everything else, and good things will happen. I think that's what the Miners did today, and if they do that again, they'll have a great chance to win.
Oh, well, I think they'll have a chance to – I like your idea. Be narrow-focused and just focus at the task at hand. If they focus on their 4-5 matchup, then that's fine. I mean, that's all you need to do. It's like Golding says. It's winning that first one's the toughest one, and then having the momentum after, that's all you really need. Eddie Morelos, super excited for today's edition of Miner Talk after closing out the regular season with a winning record, 16-15. Am I correct? You are correct, Eddie, and I appreciate you listening, man. Thanks for weighing in on the show. Yeah, Joe Golding back-to-back. He is not going to have back-to-back losing seasons, Sal. Last year, they were 14-18. This year, they have at least locked in, at minimum, a .500 record. Even if they bow out first round of the conference tournament, they'll still have a .500 record. They could have an even better record over .500 if they're able to get a win in the conference tournament right there. So does that mean a lot to you? Does that evaluating this team historically, having back-to-back losing seasons and being able to avoid that with the late surge in the season, 3 straight in a row, does that mean something to you?
There's two ways I can answer this. I'll answer it the first way. I think it means something when you consider the recent history of what UTEP basketball has been and just the lack of success. You want to start out somewhere, and you know, people could look at the overall history of UTEP basketball and see what it really means, and you know, look at some glory days and say this is not acceptable. This doesn't fit the standard. But UTEP hasn't been that in so long. So you could look at it like meaning something there, but on the other side too, I'm looking at it from the glass of they played 3 teams that they really shouldn't even have played. They wound up playing them. They were on the schedule, but I see this as a 13-15 team. I don't see them as the 16-15 team. University of Science and Arts at Oklahoma is not in Conference USA. As bad as CUSA is this year, they're not there. Who else did they play?
McMurray?
Western New Mexico? Like, come
correct
on now. So it's hard for me to really count those because I can't. I said it earlier in the year, I can't count them. I still can't count them, so I just got to stick to it. However,
I mean,
if they get on a run and start to do other things, and, you know, for sure, definitely credit's given right now the way that they're playing, but I can't, you know, be on the side of the 500 record with those 3 games out there.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that if you want to be somebody who's very, exact, then you're saying, yeah, UTEP's got over a winning record. But like Sal said, you start to pull out your magnifying glass and start to see some of those early season wins. Those aren't against D1 opponents. So good point there, Sal. Let's keep things moving on Twitter and X, 600 ESPN El Paso and hashtag Miner Talk, or chime in on our free mobile app, 600 ESPN El Paso, by the way. Trey Chauvin, I have a feeling that the Miners might go dancing. They're playing with confidence. Noah at the Noah G, great student turnout tonight. This fan base continues to show up for this team. Great way to send them off. to Huntsville, Alabama. Hashtag Minor Talk. Good point, Noah. I mean, 5,000 plus. Alberto and I were saying it to ourselves. Great crowd. I mean, it's a Thursday night. It's spring break. Not a lot of stuff to do here on a weeknight. And I'm happy that families and people across El Paso chose the Don Haskins Center as their night of leisure. You know, their night out here in spring break. I love that.
Yeah, and it was obviously a family affair. A lot of kids out there, and they enjoyed that game. And I think that the performance that the Miners put on, where they start off hot, but they and then they kind of slow down, but they win the game nonetheless. That was phenomenal to see for all the fans, because like we've been saying, a lot of them have kind of lost a little hope. So to see that right before conference play, I think that kind of revitalizes some of them, not all of them. And it was just a really fun environment at the Don Haskins. I hadn't felt that in a while, probably since maybe that NMSU game, and that's just because that NMSU game was absolutely full. There wasn't that many people there.
Yeah, and then the last home game was a loss, so are awful, right?
So, yeah, it's great to close the season out at home with a win, send your seniors out like that. So not much complaining. I did see, and this was interesting to watch, a couple of the game-worn jerseys that were auctioned off. I did see two of them. Both
Those
of them
are sweet.
Signed. They were really sweet. And seeing them, both of them signed by the corresponding player, that's phenomenal. I don't know how many other institutions that are D1 institutions can you have that, you know, where people have such accessibility to the players right after the game. And you know, Brett Broomquist from the El Paso Times, he gets really frustrated because he wants the press conference to start and guys are out there taking pictures with every fan and he's out there wanting the press conference. So I really enjoy that the fans go out there and meet the guys in the tunnel and start yelling, and guys are saying, oh, so I think that was great for the team. And to get their hopes up, that's really...
Come on, Bloomy, you could wait. Come on, man. We got you on that. Cesar Cubillos. Well, like my high school girlfriend, this game wasn't pretty. Free throws let FIU get close at the end. I'll miss Tay Hardy's game next year. It's not how you start, but how you finish. So I hope this carries into Alabama. See you in Huntsville next week.
You know what's so funny is that saying is ultimately true. Like, we're all in agreement, right? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. In the grand scheme of things, yes, but tonight in this game, it's how they started, not how they finished.
Yeah, it's definitely how they started. That's the 16-0 run propelled them forward. Jacob Matthew, dear basketball gods, please let me be completely wrong about Joe Golding and the Miners. From Jacob. This is from Romeo AF. Why not us? Weakest league in a while. But I have a feeling we'll have our hearts broken in the Conference USA Championship somehow. Now, okay, Sal, let me just ask you this. Quick question. First run, one and done, or conference tournament, lose in the end? What would you rather have?
Tournament, lose in the end. Just watch as much basketball as possible, man. I don't want to
get your heart broken.
It's March. How could
and
you
get
not
your heart broken like that? We would have to run it back Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
It's like instant death or death by a thousand cuts. Let me bleed.
I know. What do you think, Alberto? How would you answer that?
I don't. I take this unique approach, and I know it's not going to happen, but I'd rather watch them go to the final and lose in a close game.
Okay, I'm gonna mark this one right
the
here, guys.
Thing is,
okay,
I hope that would, like, a close game in the final where the Miners lose would kind of put their name up a little higher on the list for maybe an at-large bid, which is extremely hopeful. But
at-large bid in what? The NIT or the CBI or the CIT?
Anything.
Not in the NCAA tournament.
It's not in the
Oklahoma Science Arts Invitational.
Yes. It's not going to be. Come on,
D2
man.
Basketball. No, I just.
It'll be in the basketball classic, possibly.
I hope they play some playoff basketball of some sort, so.
Yeah, me too. I'm on the same train, man. I was 12, 13 when UTEP last went to the NCAA tournament. So, yeah, I would like to see a crazy run, especially in a year where, just like Romeo AF is saying, weakest league in a while. This conference, I mean, look, it's a newcomer in Sam Houston State who's winning the conference. No knock to them. But I'm saying, these teams are beatable. La Tech showed today, they're beatable. I mean, Sal, Sam Houston State, that game wasn't that close. The Bearcats pretty much handled the Bulldogs in that game.
Yeah, the score looks close, but they had a double double-digit lead in the final 5 minutes or so, and there was an impressive run by La Tech. We can't discredit that. It was like 17-2 or something like that, but that just goes to show you that Sam Houston built up that much of a lead in the final moments to they were able to afford to play like that. And even then too, when La Tech was making their run and Sam Houston was going to the line, or there was some play that benefited them, they were able to answer on those possessions. When you're on the other end of a 17-2 run, but you're calm at the line,
I know.
That's insane.
And that tells you a lot about this team. I mean, even though it's a new quote-unquote coach and a new quote-unquote regime, I mean, they play like they've played together for a long time. Joe Golding gave them a lot of credit in the post-game interview, by the way. And also, Joe Golding informed Voice of the Miners Sean Teicher and Steve Yellen he's hitting the road tomorrow. He's going to go watch KJ Thomas, the new acquisition. I should say the new signee, who has already signed his NLI to play at UTEP next year. He's a senior, and he is playing in the state semifinals of the Texas Boys basketball playoffs. Joe Golding and his wife are going to go watch him tomorrow, so that's a really cool thing in itself. And I love the fact that UTEP's getting a player like that who's playing at literally the highest level of Texas high school basketball. Aaron Peterson: can't watch the game live, but based on Twitter highlights, I'm seeing these Miners are playing like they have something to prove, with an edge that we haven't seen in a while. This is coming in right now from Poncho. Actually, I read this one from earlier. This is coming in right now from Tristan Pence. First off, congratulations to the seniors tonight. All four had stellar games. The Miners showed up tonight with great energy and swagger. The final 10 minutes is concerning, though. UTEP will have to finish games stronger to make a run in the conference tournament, hashtag Miner Talk. He also says this, Tristan continues, the CUSA tournament truly is up in the air. The Miners finishing with a top five seed is a huge improvement from where they were 2 weeks ago, which was like an eighth or ninth seed. Tristan continues by saying this, the Miners have the athleticism and the depth to make a legitimate run. Playing with intense and high-energy defense will be key next week. That's coming in from Tristan Pence. I appreciate it, Tristan. I saw you out there today. I appreciate you. Let's keep things moving. 915-505-6009. Let's hop out to the phone lines right now and welcome onto the show Pinky. He's not to be confused with Pinkney, who is on FIU today. What's up, Pinky? How are you?
What's up, Adrian? It's not Pinky, it's George.
Oh, I'm sorry, George. What's going on, man? No worries.
But thanks for the compliment, though.
we were just so excited. We were so excited that it was Pinky that we were ready to start talking about Pinkney. But now I'm equally excited that it's you, George. You got a chance to hear this one tonight. UTEP getting a win against Florida International. Where are you as a fan? Are you glass half full, cautiously optimistic? Where are you on this team?
You know what? After these three, pretty good wins, the only thing I'm a little bit optimistic, but I'm still a little on the fence on this one, only because the last 10 minutes of this game really concerns me, and it's been kind of like the MO of this team where they find a way to get out of the game. There was a tale of two halves. I mean, the first half they were on fire. I mean, Tay went up for threes. Everybody was just firing on all cylinders. They come out in the second half, and they did really well. But, I mean, I just think they fizzled out, and they weren't as concentrated as they were in the first half. They were on fire, man. And, I mean, I think the lead went up to 26 points at one point. And to make it go down, and it's been their MO all season long. They find a way to lose games, and that's what they need to stop doing. They need to stop, easing up on the gas and put the pedal to the metal and let it all lie where you know, let it all hang out.
I thought that's what they were doing in the first half, George. I thought this was going to be like a 95-10 score. Like, I really thought this was going to be the case. A 30-point game, 25-point game, whatever you want. And I think the end, you know, you could chalk it up to a lot of things. You could chalk it up to a lack of execution offensively. You could chalk it up to the turnovers that really started to mount and pile up. But the point is, like you said, they just got to close out better. And I'm not going to knock them too much because of that. Where are you at, though? Do you knock them with that, and do you kind of have some concerns going into the tournament?
Well, you know, having 48 turnovers from this one team, 25 in Florida, and then another 23 yesterday, and let alone just in the second half was where they did that complete turnaround. That's what I mean. I mean, they need to stay consistent. They need to finish strong. And they need to just trust in each other and not be so lacking, especially when they value the ball. If they value the ball like they did in the first half, I think they're unbeatable, because they showed me a different side of this team and what they can be, you know, when they all play together.
Okay, I like it, man. Hey, George, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for weighing in on the program with us, and always great to hear from you. I really appreciate your perspective. 915-505-6009 if you want to follow that call up. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and 600 ESPN El Paso online on our free mobile app. We're continuing talking about this one right here. I still am asking, or we're asking people on social media in our Minor Talk poll. UTEP basketball has won now 3 straight going into the conference tournament. Before this, they lost 4 in a row. How do you feel about the team going into the conference tournament? Are you cautiously optimistic, still out on this team, thinking UTEP will make a run, or are they one and done in Alabama? Right now, as it stands, fans are feeling pretty good about this team. 42% of the fans say cautiously optimistic, and now it's starting to rise. 33% of the votes have said UTEP will make a run. So fans feel a little bit better about this team right now. This is coming in from Richard J. at Chipper San. This is what he chimes in with us on Twitter and X. Is there any chance that we get Kevin Kalu to suit up as a left tackle next year? His footwork is on another level. Sal, Otis Pitts, right tackle. Kevin Kalu, left tackle. Cade McConnell, quarterback. Tay Hardy, running back. No. David Terrell, running back. All right, I like the David Terrell running back a little bit better. What do you think?
Oh, man. You know what? Why not?
Hey, Kalu had a good game today. This is a stretch right here with Kalu. This is like mad Kalu. So anybody who's had stock on Kalu, a.k.a. Sal Montes, you can have a victory lap today. 8 points, 8 rebounds. Flirted with a double-double. He had a block that was like an emphatic block. And he was 16 minutes in today's effort. Twice I thought he broke the rim. Like, 2 different alley-oops, Alberto. I thought he actually broke the rim today.
Yeah, the Miners had a few plays at the rim that were just
alley-oops,
yeah,
a lot.
Beautiful, a lot of them. And that's exciting to watch. And the crowd went crazy, and the team went crazy. And that was really fun to watch and really fun to experience.
Well, I got a stat for you. Here you go. They were 8 for 9 in dunks. So they made all their dunks. But get this stat, 5 for 16 on layups. That's kind of strange.
It's a poor layup.
Well, but I would say this. They were getting to the free throw line tonight. Like Sal highlighted earlier, they just couldn't make the free throws that they wanted to in this matchup. They were 14 of 25. So those layups, some of those misses, I'm wondering how many of those they ended up going to the free throw line on.
And you know what? This is why it's crucial to make those, because last game they were solid when it came to attacking the cup. The game against Liberty, they couldn't get to the line. It was hard hard for them to do that. And you flip it around, they're rewarded and they go to the line, you know, a good amount, but they're just not able to cash in. And when you kind of look back at that game against Middle Tennessee, where they kind of gave it away, they weren't cashing in on those gimmies. So piece by piece, they're starting to, you know, kind of check some things off the list. But there's going to be a game where they have to, you know, put it all together. And that's going to come up in the Conference USA tournament.
Yeah, there's going to be games in the tournament where there's no margin for error like they had late in that one. So, or in this one, I should say. This is coming in from Shannon. Good luck to the Miners coming up tonight, and good luck to all the seniors. That's coming in from Shannon. So he is wishing them good luck moving forward. You know, the interesting thing, I was talking to John DeSanjos before practice on Thursday along with Alberto. He was saying that he hopes for a basketball career in his future. He is, I guess, set to go back to his native country in Brazil. Still is uncertain about what's ahead, but wants to play some basketball here in the future. Calvin Solomon, he also has some hopes to play some you know, hoops in the future as well. So I would expect the same from Zid Powell, Tay Hardy. I've talked a lot to Tay Hardy, and I mean, look, when I was watching him today, Alberto, I'm thinking, man, this guy definitely has a international, if it's not here in the States, international pro career ahead of him, knowing that guys like Shamar Givens is making money playing pro hoops right now, and knowing that Tay Hardy, he's got a lot to his own craft. But I'm curious to see what life looks like for these four seniors who are honored tonight.
Yeah, it would be phenomenal for me, at least personally, to see every single one of these guys, if they want to continue a basketball career, to do so in whatever shape that takes. And if it's coaching or playing overseas, whatever it is, if they want to continue having basketball be a part of their life, I hope that happens for them, because they're minors, and that's how I feel for them. And you know what? Speaking on the Dos Anjos thing, I personally know through meeting different people from South America that the blacktop basketball scene in South America is extremely big. There's just a lot of action there. A lot of towns, the smaller towns even, like to have blacktop tournaments and different stuff. So there's definitely a future in this basketball. It's just about going out there and looking for it. And, you know, a senior that I wanted to highlight because coming into this one, he had four games where he only scored two points in those four. In the last four games, Calvin Solomon only had 2 points in those in all of those four games. So in this one, Calvin Solomon, you know, in his last game, and he hasn't had the season I know he wanted to have, especially being a senior, being named to that Conference USA early the preseason list, and Calvin Solomon, look, in this one he had 7 points, 2 assists, 2 steals. And 5 rebounds, and I think that's a phenomenal way to, you know, end your career.
Yeah.
Especially when you hadn't had a performance like that in a while, especially not at home. So you come out, you have a great performance, you leave it all out there, and you have a great way, you have a phenomenal final game in the Don Haskins to look back at.
Yeah, I think this stat line right here is a good indication of who Calvin Solomon was to this team. You know, 7 points, 5 rebounds, you love that. That's really positive. The 3 turnovers is something that you knock, but the 2 steals is something that you'll accept defensively, because it's like, I think Sal mentioned this earlier on Sports Talk, and I thought it was a really good statement. I think I'm going to use this for the rest of the year. High risk, high reward, Calvin Solomon. I think he, when he gives you his best, you can see what he does. And then, you know, when he turns the ball over and he's careless at times with the ball, that's where you start to scratch your head and wonder, you know, is he right now in this stretch a liability, or is he helping us in this stretch here for this basketball team? I think that's what the coaching staff has to kind of think about during stretches. And I'm curious to see what kind of minutes he gets in the conference tournament. It's all matchup based for Calvin Solomon, because if they go up against a team like they did tonight where he's able to body those bigs felt really soft to me, and he was able to body those bigs, and they really didn't have much. Calu did whatever he wanted in the front court against those bigs of Florida International, and even Derek Hamilton, they only threw it to him twice down low, but the two opportunities that he had to make a bucket, actually he had 3 opportunities, he made 2 of them. You know, he was feasting down low as well, so that's just kind of how I saw it. I think if you look at Florida International, interior-wise, they just don't have it. Back to the phones. It's Milkman next joining us, 915-505-6009, if you want to chime in on the show with us. Milkman, good evening. What's going on?
Hey, good evening. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're hanging in, Milkman. We're talking about a UTEP win. They've won 3 straight. Where are you at with this team?
Well, let me tell you, I am, like I was at the last game, I'm cautiously optimistic. And the only reason I emphasize it cautiously was that last 10 minutes of the game tonight. But, man, they still pulled it out. And, you know, we're kind of looking at each other like, I can't believe it, after a 25-point lead. We're kind of sweating it here at the end, but I'm up on them. I'm like I said, cautiously optimistic. If they can keep playing like this, who knows? Like I told you last time, if there's a time of the year to get hot, it's March, and they're doing it.
So what do you like about this team right now, Milkman? Is it the defense? Do you like how their offense is coming along? You like their guard play, front court?
The defense has been there all year. I mean that hasn't let up, thank God. And you know, defense keeps you in games, you know. God, some of the dunks tonight. That I'm trying to find a replay of that dunk from Kalu.
Hardy. Tell me it's Hardy. The one where he took off like basically a foot away from the free throw line.
Oh my God! I was in the stands going, I believe I can fly. It was unbelievable. Like we were all like, did we just see that? Like that's got to be SportsCenter. So, I mean, holy cow, that was.
I know, and you know the crazy thing? I was talking to my good pal Diego. He was like, hey, look, sometimes Hardy passes these off. Like, he sees the lane right in front of him, and I think he wants to attack it, but sometimes he passes them off. There's also been recent times, this is what my friend Diego was pointing out to me, there's been recent times, Milkman, where Tay Hardy has not gotten up. This sounds weird, but, like, he hasn't leaped as high to actually secure the dunk the way that he wants. But this one, he had it from actually mid-court, and he drove all the way. He took one look at the big inside, and he knew it. He knew he was going to take off. He knew he was going to fly. So, yeah, this was pretty amazing. That dunk was phenomenal. And for Tay Hardy, what a career night for him. To do it in front of his family, to do it on senior night, that's all you could ask, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Like I said, I'm gonna spend my time when I get off the phone here trying to find a replay of that somewhere.
I think I just found it on Twitter and X. So if you follow me, you can retweet it. I just found it.
Oh man, that's the best dunk I've seen all year. I mean that was some Michael Jordan stuff right there. That was amazing.
Oh man, but I know.
Yeah, we're definitely like I said, if I had a preference to be hot at the beginning or at the end, I'll always take the end of the year. So let's see what they can do in the tournament. You know, all we can do is watch.
I hear you, man. Hey, I appreciate the phone call, Milkman. Thanks for weighing in on the show. 915-505-6009. If you want to follow up that call, 600-ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. That's 600-ESPN El Paso.
He brings up something really interesting, Adrian.
Okay.
He says, I don't know if he said this exactly, but I'm pretty sure he would agree. Would you say that he had the intention of meaning that this was the best dunk he's seen all year?
I think so. I think that's what he meant.
So in that case, I ask you and I ask everybody else, what has been your favorite dunk this year?
I think that's it. What are the other options? Give me some other ones.
I like the dunk that Powell had in against Santa Barbara.
Oh, I remember that one. That one was scary. That was a scary dunk. Mm-hmm. And that was also a kind of a posterizer type of dunk.
Exactly.
You know, Kalu's had some really thunderous dunks this year. Otis Frazier has had some crazy dunks as well through alley-oop plays. He's shown his athleticism through some dunks. But this one right here, I mean, just there was a game, Sal, and it's escaping me the exact game, but where Hardy got up and he actually hit the rim when he was trying to dunk. And I was thinking, what happened? Like, this is not Hardy. Hardy's like high flying, high jumping kind of guy. And then today, it just validates that point. I mean, look at that dunk. That was incredible. Like, going off pretty much from taking the ball from mid court, seeing that guy who's right there in the lane and trusting his own hops to go off and dunk that. I mean, that was pretty special right there. That definitely sometimes, you know, for big plays, I'll look over at Zay and he'll look at me and we're just like, we have like this crazy look at, you know, or I'll look at whoever I'm seeing nearby and stuff like that. But that was the one where I, I looked at Zay. I was like, oh my goodness, that dunk was absolutely ridiculous. I'm happy that I found it on Twitter and X. Thanks to UTEPGuy56893 for posting this one, because I just shared it on my end as well. It was a fantastic clip. Hey, this is coming in right now. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter. This is coming in right now. I just saw this message. I think it was from Alex. So I'll get it up here in just a second. But before we do that, let's go back to the phone lines. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600 ESPN El Paso on our website. Sal, who do we have on line one?
We have Pinky.
Let's go to Pinky. Not to be confused with Pinkney, right? Now I can say it officially. Pinky, what's up?
I just feel sorry for George for calling him my name. You know, he doesn't deserve that. He doesn't deserve that at all.
Oh, man.
Enjoyable game. You know, a couple of things. First of all, it's great to see you in the midcourt getting that sponsor of the game basketball.
Thank you. Yeah, it was nice to be alongside Brad DeBoe, our president, here at Town Square Media El Paso, and accept the game ball tonight, signed by head coach Joe Golding and Keith Adams. So I like it.
Okay. Now let's get to the game. A good crowd, not bad. Very good. At least some of the student section showed up, which is great. Real quick, from my point of view. Free throws again, a couple of bad passes again, but I think what mostly everything everybody was talking about was basically the free throws and the bad passing. My point is, and I don't know if you read it, what I sent you was, how come they don't run the baseline after the other team scores a basket? He's just standing there waiting for the guys to do something.
That must be a philosophy, right? Because they've never really done it. I mean, that's what I'm guessing, right? Because other teams, they'll opt into doing it right away. But other, you know, what you saw from UTEP today, of course they didn't do that. They went and they were still at the baseline. I think that frustrated fans, but at the same time, I just didn't feel like they were in any bit of an issue or any bit of hurt. Did you actually get worried about the Miners down the stretch, Pinky?
Look, man, I've been a Miner fan a long time, and I've seen a lot of crazy stuff happen at the game. So,
I hear
you know, to me, I'll throw the Yogiism out there. It's not over till it's over.
Nah, I hear you.
You know, simple as that. But, yeah, that's, you know, free throws didn't help any down at the stretch of the game and stuff. But, you know, I just had a little couple of questions like that. But everything was great. It was good victory. You know, let's see what happens now. I'm optimistic, like everybody, mostly everybody else, I think. But, you know, they won. They won three in a row. And you know, you're playing good ball. But it was great to see all you guys out there, everybody that was out there. Great to see everybody that I saw. And you know, it's too bad it's the end of the season. So I guess that was my last time I wore my plate, my necklace. This year, I guess.
No, not this year. September. It's right around the corner, my friend.
I mean this season.
There you go. Okay. Hey, good stuff, Pinky. It's great to talk to you, man. It was great to see you out at the District West. I appreciate it. 3233 North Mesa is where we were at the District, and it was awesome to be out there today. We had a great crowd, great showing, and appreciated everybody stopping by. Let's go back to Twitter and X. Chuko Wayne, at Chuko J. Wayne, sends us this. Tonight's game reminded me that UTEP's early season energy. With all the dunks and all the alley-oops, let's go Miners. Don't let off the gas pedal. This is coming from Alex at the Sun King 11. This team has been awesome to watch when they click, but they go on spurts, and that's not optimistic. They're not consistent through an entire game, and in March you have to be. Hope they make a run, but not expecting one. I say one and done in Huntsville, Alabama. Back to our poll, cautiously optimistic is up 41%. UTEP will make a run is up to 34%. So those are two in the lead right now here as we continue on our Miner Talk poll. 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. Let's do this. Let's take a timeout, our one and only timeout of the show. When we come back, we've got awards to give out, and we've got more phone calls and tweets to talk about here as Miner Talk continues. We're presented by the Oscar Arieta Agency. More in a moment, coming up here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Welcome back. Minor Talk continues here, presented by the Oscar IDFA Agency. Our hot hand of the game, brought to you by Wind Supply El Paso, is coming up. And same with our player of the game, thanks to Timothy Cantrell. Our telephone number, if you want to weigh in, 915-505-6009. Joe Chacon with a series of posts. Okay, hear me out. After this very brief exchange between coaches, it looks like some words were said between Jeremy Ballard and Joe Golding. The game all of a sudden changed, and it became closer than we wanted. I'm not one for conspiracies, but it seems coincidental that UTEP being up so much just bleeped the bed. Excuse my French. I'd like to know what Joe Golding and the FIU coach said at this moment. It caught my eye and I watched it unfold. That is just my perspective. It may have been the fluff, but to you all, but maybe ESPN said that we need something closer. I am happy that the team is getting hot at the right time, and it is not too far-fetched that this team wins the tournament and ends up a 13 or 14 seed in the big dance. Yep, I said it. Hashtag repping from Colorado now. Hashtag fingers crossed for a snow day tomorrow. Good stuff, dude. This is hashtag not to be confused with macho madness. Snap into a Slim Jim. Hashtag so much info in this tweet. I don't know about the whole exchange and all that kind of stuff, but I'll go back on the ESPN Plus tape and watch it. Joe Chacon, so thanks for pointing it out. As far as what you say, it's not too far-fetched to say that UTEP can win the tournament and go dancing. Do you think it's far-fetched to say that, Sal?
What, yes.
Can you? Yeah, I think come to on. Use the right word, it'd still be surprising, right? Yeah. I came on this show 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, and said I was completely out on this team. I was just, I was so done with them. And you know what? Joe Golding, to his credit, he maintained that he had confidence in this team. He felt like there was a rallying point with this team, and they got to that point. So credit to him for always staying the course, and for this team for being resilient at this point. They lost four straight. I didn't even think they would win a single game to close out the year except for this one tonight. So I thought they would close out the year on a losing six of their last seven, yet they win their last three, and that includes two on the road against Jacksonville State and Liberty. What does that mean? I don't know. When the whole conference standings shake out, if those three teams that they beat are in the bottom half of Conference USA, I don't know if that makes me feel differently about it, knowing that, hey, it doesn't matter which competition it is. This league is pretty even on an even playing field right now as it stands. I still think I would be shocked, or no, I don't think, I know I would be shocked if UTEP won the Conference USA tournament. I just would, knowing what we've seen this year. Can I say it's impossible right now? No, there is some possibility behind it, and I like the confidence that Joe Golding and this team has. I love the way that he answered those questions late in that, and he feels confident going into Huntsville next week. It's just about getting that first game, according to Joe Golding. I'm good with all of that right there. I love the confidence. I love the swagger. I love the idea, and you have to have that kind of belief in order to be a team here in Conference USA. That's just the bottom line, Sal.
The Ducks are in a row right now. Everything that they're doing right now is what's leading them to win these games, right? They're more efficient. I know today they didn't take great care of the ball, you know, at a good part of time, but they did other things to kind of trump that part on their play today. So this team, I think they're playing to what they do best, and that's utilizing their athleticism, specifically on the defensive end. But on offense, they're trying to get to the rim as much as possible. There's no other way that they can play, in my opinion, that would warrant them, potential wins. It's just a matter of them executing at the end of the day. If they do that, they can pretty much outrun whoever it is they're going up against in Conference USA. But that's you got to be perfect in that regard.
If you're going to ask me, is everybody beatable? I'd say yes. Everybody is beatable in Conference USA. But if you're going to ask me, is UTEP going to win this conference and go on a run? I would just say, as of right now, I can't say that. I can't answer that in the favor of the Miners. I would probably still side with one of the favorites, like La Tech or Sam Houston State, as it stands right now. So does that mean that they can't make a run? No, of course not. They can make a run. And where I'm at with this team is it's all matchup-based. I think they could beat Middle Tennessee. If that's their matchup in the first round, I think they go and at least play a Friday matchup against Sam Houston State. And in that one, who knows? I mean, that one is just up for grabs. So you can just tell me either way, whichever side this ends up going, I would believe it, you know?
And you know what, too? I think what I really want to hammer in as well is I don't think we'd be surprised at all if this team is competing and, you know, they happen to bow out in the Conference USA tournament in a tight one to a team that played better pretty much all year. We expect them to compete with Sam Houston and Louisiana Tech. They did it.
Yeah,
they
that's
did
true.
It this year.
They did it
it's
this
just
year.
A matter of coming out on top. They haven't done it against some of the better teams in Conference USA. That's where that difference is.
915-505-6009 as we start to wind things down here on the show. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. I appreciate all the phone calls. Appreciate, you know, the support that we had at the district earlier today, and appreciate all the people chiming in today and, you know, giving us their thoughts. Let's go back to the poll. We're starting to wind things down. The poll right now is saying that 43% of the people are cautiously optimistic about UTEP. 33% say UTEP will make a run. There are 16% of the voters who say UTEP will go one and done in Alabama, and only 7% of the votes say that they are out on this team. That would indicate that fans have the glass half full right now mentality for UTEP going into Huntsville, Alabama. Let's go out to our awards here on the show, and then we're going to preview what's ahead for the conference tournament. And, of course, we'll put a bow on this one and get you ready for another edition of Sports Talk coming up tomorrow. It's on deck. UTEP defeats FIU tonight, 83-76. Hot hand of the game. Let's give it to Zid Powell. 17 points in the second half. He was... 7 for 10 from the field in the second half alone. Filled up the stat sheet, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, a very productive game from Zid Powell. 29 minutes in this one in a starting effort. He is the hot hand of the game tonight for UTEP. And speaking of our hot hand, big shout out to Wind Supply El Paso. Hey, if you're looking to work with a reliable wholesale HVAC system supplier, look no further. It's Wind Supply El Paso. They work with great people like Mastercool, the Champion Heating and Cooling Products, and they have so much more. To locate your nearest Champion dealer, visit the Find a Dealer tab online today at windsupplyelpaso.com or give them a call, 915-859-3817. That's 915-859-3817 for Wind Supply El Paso. Now it's time for our Timothy Cantrell Player of the Game. There's no question about this one. It's Tay Hardy. Tay Hardy gets the Player of the Game award, and it's not even close. Look at the performance he had tonight. 26 points, 9 for 3 from the field, 6 three-pointers made. He also contributed with 5 assists, co-led the group alongside Zid Powell and, of course, Otis Frazier III, and had, get this, only 2 turnovers in 32 minutes of action. Tay Hardy, what a performance, what a career, what a season for him. He is on his way to becoming an all-conference player in this league, and he should be recognized here in the postseason awards for sure. No doubt about it in my mind. He is our player of the game tonight, and that is brought to you by Timothy Cantrell. Hey, if you're looking for a trusted real estate agent in El Paso that's not going to waste your time and that's going to give you accurate and efficient results, it's Timothy Cantrell. You're looking to buy or sell your home, it's Timothy Cantrell. You could check him out on his Facebook at Timothy Cantrell Realtor. Check him out on Instagram, same page, Timothy Cantrell Realtor as well. And he is somebody that you could rely on for all your professional real estate needs. Give them a call, 915-204-8441. That's 915-204-8441. And I really appreciate Timothy Cantrell joining us for our Player of the Game Award all season long here on Minor Talk. Well, guys, time to turn the page. Huntsville, Alabama. It's time for Conference USA tournament action. Sal, you and I, throughout our Minor Talk career, I think we've only seen one win in the conference tournament. And I'm going to do just
some
digging.
Who was it? I don't even know who it was.
It was the 2022 season, first year under head coach Joe Golding. They defeated Old Dominion 74-64 in Frisco, Texas. So that was the last and only UTEP victory we've seen as covering Minor Talk for men's basketball.
That might be the only... Oh, how about this? How about this? Over, under 2.5... Conference USA tournament wins the last 6 years.
Oh, under.
Yeah.
Under.
That's how it's been.
Under, yeah.
So I'm shocked.
Yeah, under. I just, you know what? I mean, remember, UTEP was struggling to get in the conference tournament.
There was a year they didn't even make it.
There was a year they didn't make it under Rodney Terry, and they struggled to get in that conference tournament certain years. So I would say that, you know, when you talk about this UTEP basketball team, just getting to the conference tournament was a grind for them. It, like 2015, 2016, 2018, you know, that run, the late 2010s, it was much more difficult. And then when they made it automatic, everybody makes it. In, then UTEP was trying to not get bounced out early on or just bow out in the first round of the tournament. Let's do prediction time. I have, if it's UTEP versus Middle Tennessee, I have UTEP winning in the first round of the conference tournament. What do you think, Alberto? I'll swing it to you.
Yeah, I think if they get Middle Tennessee, they're going to have to avenge that 6-point overtime loss where they usually kind of went cold. And that should be on the forefront of your mind or your memory, and you should come out like you did today, except you don't let up. So that's what I'm expecting. Like you said, if Middle Tennessee goes out there, and these guys are hungry, they want to prove people wrong, and that mentality usually gives good things.
Sal.
You know what, Adrian, it's tough. I got to think about this, so let's pause 10 seconds for station identification for your anticipation of UTEP's participation in the Conference USA tournament on 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, and we're back here on Minor Talk. To answer the question, I think they do get the quarter win, but bow out in the semis.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I like it. We'll be back next week, Thursday edition of UTEP basketball. Women's basketball could be heard here on 600 ESPN El Paso as well in the CUSA tournament. And Sal will be up next week. We're ready to go.
Let's do it. And speaking of UTEP women's basketball, they did fall today to Florida International, a solid team in Conference USA. Let me just make sure I have the score pulled up here. I kind of don't want
to. I've got 88-62.
There we go. 88-62. And FIU kind of, you know, just routed from early on up until the end. But a cool moment, though. One of my old classmates and former UTEP women's basketball player, Marta Oletska. I'm pretty sure you all might remember her. But she put this on social media earlier. She said, "Full circle moment. We played in Miami 10 years ago, and now I get to watch UTEP play with my son and call Miami home."
Oh, that's cool.
Forever grateful for Coach Laskowska. Quite literally wouldn't be here without you. So that's pretty awesome. Wanted to give a shout out to Marta there and the UTEP women's basketball team.
Good stuff there, Sal. I like that a lot. We'll see what happens with the women's basketball team. As it stands right now, if the season ended today, they'd be a 6th seed. That means they would play 2 o'clock out in Huntsville, Alabama on March 14th. So keep an eye out. We'll post all our all our programming updates next week as we continue here ahead of the conference tournament out in Huntsville, Alabama. I think that's going to wind things up here on the show for us, guys. I really appreciate all the listeners, appreciate everybody chiming in, and appreciate those who are subscribing to us on our podcast channel. In fact, if you aren't subscribing to Minor Talk, wherever you listen to Minor Talk on demand, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever it is, go out, check it out, listen to us on demand, like and review us. If you've listened to us over the years, please consider liking, sharing, reviewing us on our on-demand channels. It's always a treat when we get to see some of those comments there. Hey, appreciate Sal Montes. Appreciate Alberto Retta. Appreciate Zay Galindo. He was out at the Don Haskins Center tonight. He's got a track meet for Chapin tomorrow. So best of luck to him for that one. And we will be back in action next week when UTEP goes out to Huntsville, Alabama. Great show tonight. We'll be back in action next week for all of us here. Thanks for listening to Minor Talk presented by the Oscar Arrieta Agency. More next week here on 600 ESPN El Paso.